Going to move on to 28, license sales. Director Kirschman.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Commissioners. Again, Tom Kirschman, Director of Wildlife Division. Last item we have on our agenda is just a license sales update, and I know yesterday we were talking about how far we were going to get, and so when I looked how far we were yesterday and realizing that we'd probably finish up fairly soon, I did put together about an hour-long presentation last night on this just to use up a little more time this morning. I'm joking. This will be a brief overview of license sales, and you should have this in your booklet, item number 28, I believe it is, and very similar report that we do normally on a monthly basis, and I'm just going to hit a few key numbers to share with you here today. So first page of the report has to do with combination licenses. Again, in general, ladies and gentlemen, license sales are doing fantastic. And I'm just going to hit a few highlights of a couple of the pages here in front of you, whether we're talking hunting, fishing, habitat stamp, all those things. Bottom line message I can share with you right off the cuff is things look really, really good. And we're going in a great direction. So combination licenses, you look at it, I'm just going to go off the bottom line and hit a few numbers there where the combination license totals. You can look at where we are in 2025 compared to 2024, we're ahead. You compare it to the three-year average, we're ahead. In particular, it's always nice to look at these licenses over time and to see how things are going. We, from a budgeting standpoint, obviously, we always look at this year to last year, and we're always thinking about those things. But it's also very important for us to look at what is the longer-term trend as well, and what does that look like, and what does that mean in the big picture? Well, if you look at the three-year average versus 2025, to this point in time, April 30th, our license year for the total combinations, we're over 2,700 ahead of the three-year average. So just combination license alone, license sales are going very well, very strong out there. Probably most indicative right now because of our fantastic fishing and the fishing opportunities that have occurred so far already this year. Going to the next page is habitat stamp. Again, looking at this time, 2025 compared to 2024, we're actually ahead by just under 8,000. If you look at our three-year average, just over 15,000 ahead at this point in time. Again, indicative of all license sales, applications that are going on so far into the licensing year. I think that number, those numbers alone are a true indicator of how well things are going with license sales. Next page, small game licenses. Again, as I mentioned last month as well, and this holds true this month, not a lot of activity with small game license sales, as this really comes down to small game hunting, pheasant hunting, grouse hunting, waterfowl hunting, some of those things, the preserve hunting licenses. That activity will certainly pick up as the summer goes along, especially when we start getting into that August-September time frame. But again, if you just look at comparison to last year, this year, we are ahead. Probably more enlightening there is comparing it to the three-year average of total licenses for residents and non-residents, over 3,500 ahead at this month compared to where we were just a year ago. So again, small game license sales are doing very well. I'd be remiss, and I'd probably get scolded if I didn't talk just for a minute as we're talking about small game, about pheasant. We are at a critical point in time when you think of pheasants on an annual basis over the month of May and June. We had a phenomenal, open, mild winter. We saw a large carryover of birds. I know all of us, talking amongst ourselves, talking to people from the public, talking to other landowners, other sportsmen, the general comment we're hearing is, holy cow, have you seen how many pheasants are out there? And it doesn't matter what part of the state they're talking about, the general theme is, my goodness, are there birds out there? It is going to change a little bit now, because now we're going into that time of the summer here where those hen pheasants are starting to drop eggs, and it won't be long, and they're going to go in full incubation mode. And then all of a sudden, you don't see the hens very much, right? And then some of the questions will come about, where did all the pheasants go? But it is a critical time, because right now is, again, as birds are dropping eggs, they're going to start incubation. There's a few that have started incubation already. There's always some that are a little bit early. But the month of May and June are critical. In general, over historical time, the second week of June is our peak hatch. And so if you back up 23, 24 days of that incubation of those nests, here we are sitting in that middle of June timeframe where that incubation is really going to really go into full implementation mode. And so the timely rains we've had, the habitat growth, the big greenup that we've had, the vegetation out there is critical this time of the year. And the way things look right now, we can continue to receive some timely and good moisture. I'm not sure how to properly describe the potential for this fall other than probably phenomenal. That's just the reality based on the number of birds that we've seen on the landscape and where we are today. So a lot can happen between now and this coming fall, but boy, are we set up for one heck of a fall, ladies and gentlemen. And so, you know, if folks are talking about pheasants, this is a critical time. And it's nesting time, and we'll see brood hatch coming probably about a month from now. We will see a few broods come out late May. It happens every single year. But boy, that first, right about that 10th day of June, things are really going to explode, and we look forward to that time of the year. So going on to the next page, our fishing licenses. This is really the standout of all of our license sales right now. Whether you look closely at the residents, individual licenses or totals, same for non-residents. I'm going to just focus primarily on the combined totals. Look at 2025 compared to 2024. Just from a year ago, we're up by 7,600. We look at our three-year average, we're up by 9,300. So we've been talking about this the last couple of months. We had a fantastic ice fishing season. Open water fishing has been great. Up and down the Missouri River, walleye fishing has been fantastic. Out in the northeast, eastern part of the state, it's been really, really good. Out here in the western part of the state, we're hearing a lot of great stories and happenings out here as well. So we are really, really pleased on where we stand right now with fishing license sales and how strong it is. Right now, it looks like trends will continue. They've remained strong over the last couple of months and really don't see anything slowing that down. Weather looks great, and folks are getting out there enjoying the wonderful fishing opportunities we have across the state. I'd be remiss to say also, I don't think it's a big surprise to see these license sales at their showing right now in the strength, kind of mirroring some of the comments that Director Van Meteren talked about, how they've seen numbers very strong in the campgrounds across the state as well. We know that direct correlation between folks enjoying our state parks and camping and getting out on the water and fishing. And so we know there's that direct tie there. And so it's wonderful to see that both sides of this from both divisions are going hand in hand here, providing those opportunities, providing the facilities and people getting out and enjoying the wonderful fishing opportunities that we have across the state. I'd also like to give a shout out and thank you to Division of Parks as well, because of all the boat ramps that we have across the state, it is a collaborative effort between the two divisions within the department. You know, we talked, Jake gave the presentation on fish stocking and those opportunities that we're going to make available and provide out there for our anglers and fishermen. Boats are in there, and so again, just a shout out to a lot of those Division of Park staff and the work that they do, because they do a heck of a job of making sure those boat ramps are in place. Our division staff work a little bit on that too, but a heavy lift really comes from the park. So thank you to all those folks. And then the last page has to do with some big game licenses. I won't go over those in detail. You can look at those as your pleasure. Again, if you just look at the general trends on the graphs, the blue lines are for residents, red lines are for non-residents typically. You can see trends are pretty steady, continue to grow on some of them, but certainly does show the high interest in big game hunting opportunities. As we get into the big game drawing, especially like deer and elk, we'll have some more specific graphs on those over the next couple of months, because those are significant drawings and high interest and high volume applications and licenses for our sportsmen and women across the state. So, Madam Chair, there's my two-hour report for you this morning, and I would certainly try to answer any questions that you may have.
Very good. Any questions, comments for Tom? Seeing none, a great way to end this month's meeting.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. And with that, we have hit all of the items on our agenda for our May meeting this year in Custer. As we wrap up, just a special thank you to the entire team, whether it was through Remcota Companies or the staff here at Custer State Park. You always treat us with such great hospitality, and we look forward to coming back every single year. Before we say goodbye, just a reminder, next month we will be in Aberdeen in Commissioner Watkins' neck of the woods. We will be at the Dakota Event Center, and that's June 5th and 6th, so we look forward to tackling some important issues during that meeting. Before we adjourn, Secretary Roebling.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, and I just want to first off thank all of the staff like you just did, but just reiterate, wow, what a great meeting. What a great setting. What a great venue. What a very organized, logistical, smooth operation. Thank you, Gail, for all your efforts there. Thank you, Nick and Chris, for the great audio and just making sure the meetings run smoothly. So, yeah, we are entering one of the busiest times of year for all staff, really. I mean, our aquatic staff is very busy spawning. Our habitat staff is very busy planning food plots, getting things ready on our game production areas. Our private lands biologists are trying to get seed in the ground, and there's just a lot of things happening at the moment across the state. And obviously, our park staff are preparing for about 8 million visitors here in just a couple of months. And it's a busy, busy time of year. I'm super proud of the team. Team GF&P is phenomenal. Every time we ask them to step up, they exceed expectations. So just encourage everybody to get outside, enjoy the great outdoors. South Dakota is just a very, very special place. The turkeys are still gobbling, the walleyes are biting, the campgrounds are looking beautiful, and we're going to have a great, great summer here over the next few months. So, yeah, it should be good, and thank you, commissioners, for a great meeting, and we're looking forward to June.
Before we adjourn, any commissioners would like to bring, are there any commissioners that would like to bring up any items for future commission meetings? Seeing none, we need a motion to adjourn. Moved by Commissioner Bartling.
Seconded
by Commissioner Locke. And all those in favor of adjourning, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, we are adjourned.